Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome back to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of hope to raise faithful kids. I'm Tony Kolenk, a law professor, father of five, homeschooling columnist, and the author of the award-winning series for teens, The Harwood Mysteries. By the way, I'm excited to announce that book five in that series is due out later this year by Loyola Press. We are still finalizing the release date and title, but it should be in the fall sometime. And it's going to be a murder mystery whodunit, by the way, with a twist of the history of the Crusades in there. On today's show, we'll be speaking with Denise Mercado about keeping the faith in a family where there are children with disabilities. My guest today is Denise Mercado. She's an author, a blogger, and the mother of a child with severe disabilities. She's the author of two books that grew out of her experiences in her family. And after being raised Catholic, Denise did turn away from her faith, but her difficult life circumstances renewed her interest in the faith and brought her back. And she talks about that in her books and blogs and inspires us to overcome the difficulties of life with the gift of God. Denise, welcome to The Shepherd's Pie.
Thank you for having me.
It's really interesting because I've been on your website a little bit and talking to you earlier. In addition to this really deep writing that you do for families and those who are going through difficult times with disabilities, you also are a solo traveler, and you blog about your travels too. So maybe before we get too deep into the topic of the day, tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the other things that you have been involved in.
I love traveling. My husband and I started traveling without children in our 50s. We did a lot of great things. He was a great travel partner, but unfortunately he died young. He died right before his 63rd birthday. And so I was 60 years old, left with still the desire to travel, but no one to travel with. My children were still, you know, working. My grandchildren were in school. My friends had husbands or they were working. So it was either find another travel partner, which I didn't really want to do, or go out there on my own. And look, I found a lot of websites of women my age and older that were traveling by themselves to places where I would have never gone, but it inspired me. And so I decided to give it a shot. And I actually love doing it. I've been to several places, and the whole 2023 calendar is full with solo travel, which is nice.
That is wonderful. Sounds exciting too. Yeah.
Let me just say this. Interestingly enough, I've made the blog a Catholic travel blog because I like to go to churches and shrines and monasteries and convents. And so I just made this a Catholic travel blog, which is really an unusual type thing, but it's very interesting to learn the history of the Catholic faith.
Yeah. You know, you say that this last summer, I took my mother, who is turning 90 this year, and we traveled in Italy together, rented a car, and sort of did a little bit like what you're describing. We went and saw Padre Pio, we went to Lanciano to see the Eucharistic miracle there, and all sorts of great sites in Italy, where obviously there's no lack of religious sites to see.
Right.
But your life story, obviously, you've had a lot going on in your life, and I know we want to focus on family and disability. So maybe if you could start us off by just telling us your story of your family's experience with that.
We have an older son. He was born in 1979, and then in 1982, our youngest son was born. And I was the happiest I could have ever been. I had two beautiful boys. And then 6 months after my youngest son was born, he developed H. flu meningitis, which we now have a vaccine for. But unfortunately, that vaccine came 2 years too late for my son. This particular type of meningitis, most children, there's only one out of 10 that survive. And my son was the one out of 10 that survived. But it pretty much wiped him out. I mean, he lost head control and never regained it. He was totally dependent of others for all functions in life, for his entire life. And he passed away 1 month before his 25th birthday. So we spent almost 25 years looking for services, trying to figure out what we were supposed to do to help him and to kind of find some normalcy in our family. So it was definitely a journey, but that incident was the incident that turned me around, because I was raised Catholic and we were married Catholic. We baptized our children Catholic. However, we drifted. We just drifted. We weren't going through any, we didn't go to mass. We weren't doing anything. But when this happened, we kind of knew we needed to get back on track. It was a turnaround point for us.
Can you talk about that a little bit? At what point did you recognize, you know, hey, we need God in our lives here? Like, what brought you to that realization? And then maybe tell us a little bit about how you re-engaged with your faith.
I immediately thought wrongly. It was definitely the wrong thought. But I thought that God was getting back at me for all the things that I did wrong. So that was my first initial reaction to an ICU. I'm thinking these thoughts. And I realized that I needed to go back to God because I wanted to talk him out of this. I kind of talked to him about this. So that was my point. Interestingly enough, I didn't go back to the Catholic Church right away. God sent us through a lot of different teachings and so forth, but I went to a non-denominational church for a long while and I learned a lot there. But what I realized, and my husband and I both raised Catholic, we realized after several years there was something missing. We learned a lot, but we just felt like we were only going to the edge of something. We weren't getting the total. And we realized we were missing the Eucharist and we were missing the Blessed Mother. And that's what made us turn back and go back to the Catholic faith. And once we got back to the Catholic faith, we decided, me particularly, I decided I wasn't just going to be Catholic in name only, that I really wanted to learn the faith. And so I would read everything and anything I could get my hands on, which is why I wrote my second book, because I learned about the rosary and really researched about that. And that was the second book that came out.
That's beautiful. Well, let's talk about that in a minute. Let me start with your first book, though. I know you wrote that book, They Created Us, specifically as a reflection on your son and your experiences. Can you tell us about your first book a little?
Sure. Yeah. The first book was published in November 2006. Unfortunately, my son died in February 2007. So like once that book came out, it was difficult to promote that book because there was a whole grieving process that went through. But the purpose of me writing that book was to help other families. We were in North Carolina at the time. You know, we lived in a lot of different places because my husband was military, but most of our time looking for services was in North Carolina. This book will relate not only to those who live in North Carolina, but throughout the country, because every state has services for children with disabilities, but finding those services can be very, very difficult. So I wrote the book to help families realize, number one, that they're not alone, and number two, that perseverance is important and God is very important. And when you put all those together, you will find what you need.
And then on your second book, I guess you sort of continued this journey after your son had already passed. Maybe tell us a little bit about that one.
Right. So my son passed in 2007. My husband passed in 2017. I was still reading and learning and doing things. And then I read a book, a really great book by Father Calloway on the rosary. And that kind of sparked my interest in learning about the rosary. You know, my mother, my grandmother, they prayed a rosary every day. I carried a rosary in every pocketbook I owned, but that's really all I did with it. I just carried it around. So I treated it more like a good luck charm rather than like the weapon that it really is. And so I've learned through my research what that was all about. I took all the mysteries of the rosaries, and not just the Dominican rosary. I learned from Father Calloway's book that there's other rosaries, the Franciscan rosary, the Brigittine rosary. I took all the mysteries from all those rosaries and put them in chronological order. And then I wrote about them. But you can't really write about these mysteries without seeing yourself. And so as I got especially into the sorrowful mysteries, I also saw the struggles that we went through. And so peppered throughout that second book is my life journey with my son, with losing my husband, with all the things that happened in life, raising the two other children and that sort of thing.
When we have tragedy hit our families in whatever form, it could be loss, loss of a parent, loss of a child, sickness, disability, some people maybe run to faith to kind of get that comfort from God. Others run away from their faith. It sounds like you went back to the faith because your son had disabilities, but then you wound up experiencing a deep loss. Talk a little bit about how we can keep our faith when we have these kinds of tragedies and sufferings in our lives.
Now, I don't really understand how people can go through these tragedies without faith. Faith has really been the thing that has helped me. I'm very grateful to my parents, especially my mom, because my mom was Catholic. My dad had no religion. And they got married in the 50s. In the 50s, you had to both be Catholic in order to get married on the altar. My mom said to my dad, well, I don't know what you have to do, but we're getting married on the altar. So dad became Catholic. And I'm grateful for that, because had I not had that upbringing, I wouldn't have had that foundation to draw on. I knew that God was a good thing and a place where I needed to be. But it wasn't until I had those tragedies that I turned back to him. I wanted to keep him like the rosary in the bottom of my pocketbook somewhere. But I don't really understand how people go through without it, because he's helped me through every step of the way. I think the hardest thing, when my son got sick and when my son died, my husband was there. We did it together. But when my husband died, it was just me. And it really wasn't just me. At that point, my faith was strong enough that I realized God was really with me. The Blessed Mother was with me. My guardian angel was with me. And there was a whole group of people with me. And I wasn't really alone. That doesn't mean I didn't cry a lot. It doesn't mean I didn't have to make changes. But there was a support system around me that I was able to push through that. I was able to get through it.
Yeah. So maybe talk about that a little bit more. The idea that you have this support system through the faith, obviously you're referring to some spiritual support. What mm-hmm. about the support of other Christians, the church, the community? Can you discuss the importance of that?
Yeah, the church family is very important. And that helped a lot. We were 23 years in a church in North Carolina with my son's disabilities. And we met many families in that church parish that lost children, either in car accidents or illnesses. So that was a good support system for us. Everyone has some kind of tragedy in their life. And if you talk to a person long enough, you'll be able to identify it. And then you ask them, like one of the things that I did when my husband passed away was I started looking for others who were in the same situation I was in, because I knew from my son's issue, I walked around for almost 8 years thinking I was the only person in the world that was experiencing this, when that wasn't true. So when I was able to make those human connections in both the world, the secular world, but also in the community, in the religious community, then I was able to say, well, how are you surviving? And then get their testimonies and then learn, okay, it's this is what you do and that's what you do. So I've learned from those different experiences.
Now, this year, I went to the March for Life in D.C., first year after Roe versus Wade was overturned. And mm-hmm. as you probably are aware, one of the big issues in the pro-life movement is the mass abortion of children with disabilities in the womb, mm-hmm. especially Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, I think some people, when they hear about that, or if they get informed as a parent that they're going to have a child with a disability, some of them think, well, maybe it would be better if that child was never born, or that child's life was not as much value, or child's life is going to cause too much trouble in their own lives. As somebody who's spent 25 years essentially raising a child with a disability, can you address those kinds of concerns people might have about children with disabilities?
Right. And I've heard that concern about having an abortion when you know that there's a child, that the child has issues. That's not what my situation was. My child was perfectly healthy for 6 months, and then all this happened. So then if the issue is you want to do away with a life for the benefit of that person, that child, what he would be facing, and what do you do with the child who gets sick after he's born? What do we do then? It's just wrong all the way around, no matter how you look at it. The child's life is definitely going to be difficult. The family's life is definitely going to be difficult, but it's how you deal with that difficulty that is important. Whether it's that difficulty or some other difficulty, you can't go around difficulty. You've got to figure out how you're going to deal with it. My son had tremendous impact on so many people's lives without ever saying a word, with being totally dependent on others. He touched so many people in so many ways that I don't think we could put value on that. It's priceless.
Definitely. Can you share, are there any specific occasions that come to mind where you felt like your son really made an impact on somebody's life in the way that you described?
We pushed for him to be in as much of an inclusive setting as possible in school. And it was difficult because he had such severe disabilities. But it was interesting. There were an awful lot, like he went to camp. He went to an Easter SEALs camp. The people there, the children there, not the children that had disabilities with him, but also the children who came to support the ones with disabilities, were very impacted by his life. And I think that's important. I mean, disabilities come in all shapes and sizes, and they come in all ranges. You don't have to be born with them. You can live a healthy life. It could happen to you and I tomorrow. So then what do we do? You know, it's what we do at that point, and turning to God and having God help us through that sorrowful mystery. We're back to the sorrowful mysteries. It's priceless. It's what's important.
I want to ask a difficult question, as if they're not all difficult questions, but you're at a time in your life probably where you can look back over your life and see the trajectory that your life took. Do you ever reflect on, like, what would my life have been like if my son hadn't got a disability, you know, and the blessings that have come to you and those around you, you know, because this happened?
I thought about that many times, but it's not something that lingers, because my son had purpose in life, and that's what I've learned. All lives have purpose. I wondered what it would be like to have three healthy, normal children rather than this one that was like, but that child, my son Danny, challenged us in a way that three healthy children wouldn't have challenged us. I appreciate that challenge. And it has taken us in a place I never thought I would go. Many times I thought, you know, you meet families of children without disabilities and they don't know how to interact with you because they don't know how to talk to you. I would have been one of those people had this not happened to me. So there's been a part of my life that has been greatly changed because of my son. And I'm just grateful for him for that.
And you mentioned your other children. Obviously, they also were growing up having to, you know, be in a family with a sibling with a disability. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how you as a parent navigated the difficult balance of, you know, the care that your son would have needed, but also the care that your other children would have needed.
I talk about that in my first book, about how spinning plates was not my forte at all. And it was very difficult. My children, we raise individuals. My daughter is adopted, and we adopted her after my son Danny got sick. We wanted to have more children, and it was difficult to have a newborn. And so my husband was raised in an orphanage. So we decided we were going to do a toddler, you know, a child to come to our home. So that was a little bit easier. But my children made decisions in their lives very much similar to the decisions that I made. And I was raised without a child with a disability in my family. So my son is now a special forces soldier. We would have never thought that would have come from him, because he was just, he was a difficult child to raise. And my daughter is on the opposite side. She's the total opposite. She was a star student, but then took a really wrong turn. So she's coming back. So I can't say that having a child with a disability made their lives different or better. I could just say that everybody, it impacted everyone in our family. My husband, me, them, and they're off on their own and they've made their decisions. And I know that they're going to be coming back because I did. And I know there's hope there.
You're definitely not alone as the parent of children who may not have followed us in the faith. I have that experience myself.
Right.
So maybe let's talk to one other topic then, and that is instilling faith in children with disabilities. Now, I mean, there are some kids with high functioning Down syndrome or something where, you know, you really could teach them everything that you would teach any child. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how you may have, you know, tried to instill faith not only in Danny, but also in the other kids in light of Danny's disability.
Well, I think the church family is very important. And I remember going to my parish and saying, I would like to enroll my son in CCD, and then pushing in the wheelchair. And they said, well, we can put him in this class if you will help teach the class, because they didn't know what to do with him. So I think the challenge is parents need to raise their children in the faith, but it also takes the church family as well. So we need to help those other adults in the church family to understand and to embrace all children, regardless of disability. But I do remember one priest, he said to me, now my son Danny was very involved, nonverbal. And he said, Danny received baptism, right? And I said, yes. He said, well, it's time for communion. And I was floored. I was like, he said, don't worry, Jesus is there. And so I thought that was wonderful. And so we did it in his office. I said, how do we do this? He said, well, bring him to the office. We did him to the office, and he said his prayers, and he gave him just a little piece of the host. But I became a Eucharistic minister because of that, because I was then able to bring Eucharist to my son. And then as he got older and more involved, we had to break the host in half and quarters in order for him to take. But I just thought that was so wonderful that this priest was brave enough to go out there and say, Jesus is there, which is true. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And it was just, it was great.
All right. So I know you have a wonderful book in a minute we're going to talk about on the entertainment segment. So kind of as a wrap up to this section, if you have a parent or a teacher who's having to, handle a family situation with a child with a disability, any tips or advice, whether it's things you learned from making mistakes or things you think you did right, that you would offer to them as a bit of advice?
Yes, I thought about that. And this is what I would say to them. Raising a child with a disability is very difficult. Being a child with a disability is also very difficult. I would encourage them to always seek God, because God is always with them, to always put God first, to do that with all the difficult roads. I would also encourage them that doors and windows will be opened for them. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to us. So that would be my advice for them. You know, we are to encourage each other. For whatever reason, people find themselves in situations. We can't help people get out of the situations, but we can certainly lift them in prayer and encourage them to keep God first. And that's what I would say to them. That would be my advice.
And that advice is an excellent segue into our entertainment segment. All right, in our entertainment segment, I'd like to ask our guests if they have any books that they think would be good for families, kids dealing with the topic of the day. And my understanding, Denise, is that you brought us a very good book today. So what have you got for us?
Yes, this is a wonderful book. This book is called It's Good to Be Here, and it's by Christina Chase. And I love this book. Christina is a person with a disability. She has no cognitive disability. She wrote this book completely by herself, but she is totally dependent on others for everything in her life, everything. Very much like my son. The only difference is that she has no cognitive disabilities. She's a Catholic, and she writes this book, and the subtitle of this book is A Disabled Woman's Reflections on God in the flesh and the sacred wonder of being human. And I thought it was absolutely wonderful as she explained in here how she loved being alive and being human. And it gave me a perspective for my son that I never realized, I never was able to talk with anyone, to talk to anyone who had his experiences. So this book opened a new way for me to see my son, which was really, it was very enlightening for me.
Now, what age range, if you were going to recommend this book, is this something that kids could read, teenagers, parents, who should be reading this book?
Yeah, I think teenagers and older would be reading this book because she gives a very good explanation about what it's like to be human. And she talks about God throughout the entire thing. I mean, this is a person who cannot even go to the bathroom by herself. Nothing can be done by herself. And so the place of humility, great humility. And yet she, even though she's dependent, she's not, she still is very appreciative. Talk about pro-life. She is very appreciative of being alive and understands God in her life, which is really, so teenagers can understand that too. And adults as well. So parent of a child with a disability, this would be a great book.
Yeah, and seeing, I'm looking at the cover, it shows her in a wheelchair. Reminds me of the books and the beautiful life of Johnny Erickson. I don't know if you ever saw any of her story, the disability that she wound up experiencing and how she intertwined faith in her life. Christina Chase, It's Good to Be Here from Sophia Institute Press in 2019.
Yes.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention. So Denise, before we tie up here, what if folks are interested in learning more about you or getting a hold of some of your books? Where can they go?
Well, my website is my name, denisemercado.com. That's where you'll find my Catholic travel blog. You'll also find both of my books. And you'll also find other book reviews. So I'm an avid reader. I love to read about nonfiction, Catholic books, and books about the faith. So you'll find Christina's book there. You'll also find Tony's books there. You'll find a lot of great books there. So feel free to just, and you'll find my books there as well. So I hope you would take the time to subscribe to the blogs and welcome.
Thank you. That's definitely, and I appreciate you. You even put my books on there.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Denise, for being on the show today to talk about what I know are probably difficult topics. And I really appreciate your candor and just the openness of your heart in sharing that with us today.
Thank you very much for allowing me to do that.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for the show today. We've been speaking with Denise Mercado about how we can keep faith in our lives in raising a family where a child has a disability. Again, this is Anthony Barone-Kolenc. If you have a question for me or a topic that you want me to cover on the podcast or show, drop me a line on my website at anthonykolenc.com. And that's also where you can learn more about the Harwood Mysteries, my teen series. Until next time, may God bless you and your families as we work together to raise faithful kids.